I believe one of the most practical ways to show our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is by being generous. Think about what generosity implies. It implies that we've received something and we have an abundance of it and we can distribute it. Or perhaps we don't have an abundance of it, but God has given us so graciously that we are able to meet the needs of other people sacrificially, following in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It also implies gratitude to God, and it implies a real concern for people right where they are. A number of years ago, when I was in Bible college, so we're going back about two decades now, I was on a train on my way home from college. I went to college in Boston. I was heading back to Pennsylvania. And I just had a brutally difficult semester academically, in all categories. I think everything in life felt like it was out of control. Have you ever had one of those seasons of life where perhaps problems weren't as big as they felt, but because everything was happening at once, it felt like it was a really big problem? It was one of those semesters for me. And I was taking a train back to Pennsylvania, and I struck up a conversation with an elderly woman, and she began chatting with me, and we were in line to purchase food, and we just began talking, and it was only a few moments into the conversation, maybe even a few seconds into the conversation, when I realized this is a follower of Jesus. It was so obvious that this woman knew the Lord. Just in the way that she communicated, the care that she expressed, I thought, this is a woman of faith. But she did something really interesting. She asked me about where I was in life and where I was spiritually after I had asked her, hey, what church do you attend? I didn't even waste time asking, are you a Christian? It was that obvious. And so she asked me about what was going on in my life. And as I unpacked in short details, I mean, this is a stranger I met on a train, didn't dive into every single detail, but just what my life was like in that setting, this woman and her generosity and her faithfulness, she bought me a hot chocolate. Now that sounds perhaps insignificant to the listener today, but can I tell you that hot chocolate meant so much to me that I remember it almost 20 years later. Why did it mean so much to me? Well, she spent a dollar of her own money on a stranger, and she did so because she was concerned about where I was in life, and she wanted to encourage me. And at that moment, I felt like the sovereign God of the universe cared so much about me that he had set this lady on my path in life just so I could have this conversation and so she could tell me about the love of God. And she didn't have to use words. She simply had to hand me a cup of hot chocolate. I wonder how many times in life God has so blessed me, and I've had opportunities to bless others, and I wonder how God has used those times for his glory. Today we're going to talk about how we, as people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our everyday lives can show that faith, and I believe we can do that through our generosity. Well, as we pick back up where we left off last week, as we talked about just living out our faith in our everyday lives and the opportunities that God gives us to use the gifts that he has so blessed us with, today I wanted to talk about the reasons why we give as followers of Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, Christians ought to be known for their generosity. We are reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul when he was quoting Jesus in Acts chapter 20, where he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Why is that? Why do Christians give? Why should we be generous? Well, I'm going to give you five reasons today, and then just two practical considerations as we wind down the podcast at the end. So why do we give? Well, first, we give because we have received. This was a writing by Joe Pigney of the Desiring God podcast, and I thought this was a really interesting article. It was published on November 23rd, 2021, and I'm just going to read part of it to you. It says, "It's not enough to merely gratefully receive. Grateful reception can quickly turn to ill-keeping or ill-giving. The thief who stops stealing must now labor honestly in order to have enough to share with others." That's Ephesians 4:28. Here we consider the difference between sharing and wasting, between well-giving and ill-giving. In James 4:3, it warns of the danger of asking God for blessing with the wrong motives. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Desiring wealth in order to selfishly spend it on our passions is wasteful. God loves a cheerful giver, not an indulgent squanderer. Wealth is a gift from God for the sake of His mission. He gives to us that we might give to others. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. That's 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. God has richly provided us with everything for four purposes. First, for our enjoyment. It is good for us to gladly receive what God supplies and to enjoy it for His sake. Second, He provides so that we might do good, that our wealth might serve the joy of others. Third, He provides so that we would be rich in good works, not just rich in wealth, but rich in deeds of charity and mercy. He meets our needs so that we can gladly meet the needs of others. Fourth, He provides so that we would be generous and ready to share. The readiness is crucial. It challenges the greed in our hearts. When we have good gifts, are our eyes locked on the gifts alone? Or are our eyes up, looking around for opportunities to share what we've received? Is there an eager readiness to be generous, or is there a selfish miserliness on our part? Christian generosity begins with grateful receiving and then moves to ready giving. We receive in order to give. As a follower of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you have received much. As a follower of Christ, as I look back at my life, I see the way God has blessed me with a rich church family, and He has so many times, and I mean that is richness in terms of relationships. I have such wonderful relationships. God has sent people across my path with wonderful skills and trades, and I've been able to acquire some of those skills because I've watched them or I've been taught how to use those gifts. God has met my financial needs. When my wife and I were first married, we struggled financially. I worked three jobs at the time, and one of those jobs was delivering pizza. And it was really interesting because there were times where I would have a bill that would be due, and I would owe something like $80.25 on my gas bill. And I would go out that night and deliver a pizza, and at the end of the day, I'd walk away with $82 in tips. And it was something where I didn't, you know, accumulate wealth or riches or anything like that. I wasn't building a mansion, but God provided. I might have walked on a razor's edge, it felt like at times, but God met our needs. And I thought how often I prayed to God and I said, Lord, just give me strength, please, to be able to work my shift today, to be able to change that uniform. And if you've ever worked multiple jobs, the mental strain of just taking off a uniform and putting another one on, it's weird, but it really does feel like a heaviness. And it was like, God, please give me strength. And God provided that. God gave me peace of mind at times. God met our needs. And so we give because we have received. The intent there is not to be greedy people. It's not just to covet the next thing that we can get. It's not so we can store up riches somewhere. God has so blessed us, and we have an opportunity. It's not that we have to, just that we have to. It's that we also get to. We have an opportunity as followers of Jesus to give just as we have received. Like I talked about just a moment ago, how some of those things that I have received have been skills and trades that people have spent time showing me how to do, things like paint a wall or hang drywall or work on some electrical. The opportunity to work with somebody else and to show them hands-on how to do something like that, or change brakes, or whatever it might be, how to read the Word of God. Things like that are so impactful in others' lives. The second reason we give is because we have something to give. And I want to encourage you on that. There might be some people who are listening who say, look, I am not in a place financially where I am able to give and to assist in acts of charity. I could not today, if somebody called me and they said, look, I need $100 because I'm short on food for the month, I couldn't give them that. I don't have that. I don't have anything to give. Well, I think that's a misunderstanding. We have something to give. One, we have time. We can make time for people. And by the way, I know that those who are listening are likely very busy. You ask people today, how are you doing? And they're either going to say, I'm good, or they're going to say, I'm busy. And a lot of people are busy. And so when we take time out of our schedules and we prioritize somebody else, it communicates a lot. It shows the love of God. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. But if we set aside time, we have resources. Perhaps at this place in life, God has blessed you with some financial resources or other resources such as tools or knowledge or whatever it might be. You have something that you can draw from that you can give to others. We have emotions. Sometimes people don't need us to give them something. They need to just be the recipients of our care, of our concern, of our willingness to cry alongside them. We can give our emotions. And the fourth thing that we can give is our prayer. And I know today that the unbelieving world mocks so often when Christians say, look, I'm going to pray for that. And by the way, praying for something should not be an excuse for providing tangible help if we are able. If somebody calls you and they say, look, I'm moving on Saturday at noon, they're not asking you to pray for them on Saturday at noon. They're asking you to come and lift some boxes if you are so able. But if you're not able, praying, of course, and prayer always, regardless of your physical availability, prayer is always important. The unbelieving world mocks Christians because we say, well, yeah, I'm praying, or I will give thought to that and prayers. And they say, well, look how silly that is. It doesn't do anything. Well, can I tell you, thoughts and prayers do a lot. If we are really thinking, if we are reflective on a problem or where somebody else is in life, and we are thinking about how we can come alongside and help them, with the goal of actually doing that, and we're going to follow through an action, then thoughts are very beneficial. I don't want somebody just to help me if they haven't given any thought to it. I mean, think about if I called up a good friend. I said, hey, help me move this heavy refrigerator up two flights of stairs. Just come prepared. I hope somebody thinks through that and they think, well, I have to wear some kind of a back brace so I don't throw my back out. I should probably go get a dolly. That would be ideal. We don't have to like destroy our backs lifting this. And so it's okay if you think through something before you help. Thoughts aren't bad. I welcome thoughts. The second part of that, again, and where I started there, is prayer. Prayers are important because God hears them. God loves us so much, He cares about us, and He hears our prayers. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, we are told in James. And yes, I memorized that in the King James. As followers of Jesus Christ, we ought to believe that. And so we should be praying for people. And by the way, if you tell somebody that you're praying for them, follow up with them. Write that. If you had to send a memo, make sure you actually are praying for them. You're not just going through the motions. But then set a timer or set a calendar update or whatever you do on your smartphone or device, or maybe you're old school and you write it out on paper. I use a whiteboard. I write things out on a lot. But write out a reminder and say, look, I'm going to check back with them a week or two weeks from now. And I'm going to say, yeah, hey, I've been praying about your sister and her health, or I've been praying about your work situation. How's that going? Let somebody know that you care. You have something to give. The third reason we give is because it shows the love of God. And it really does. When we give to somebody else, it shows how very much we love God and how much we love the other person. In James chapter 1, verse 27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the kind of religion that God finds pleasing. And I know when we talk as Christians, a lot of times we say, well, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It is a religion. We worship God Almighty. We are not on equal footing with Him. We worship Him. We love Him. And He has called us friends. So it is religion with a relationship component. And that is a core component. In fact, we are created to have a relationship with God. Make no mistake about it. But in James here, he describes the religion, the relationship in which we honor and worship God above everything else. He receives that through acts of service and love, even to other people. Think about Jesus' words where He said, you know, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no room in the Great Commandment for being stingy, being greedy, not giving to other people simply because we choose not to. If we love God, we love other people. You know, when we talk about love, we understand that love is supposed to be an action. We are supposed to be putting our affections to action. And by the way, as followers of Jesus Christ, it's important that we are reminded that, you know, sometimes we don't feel like doing something. Sometimes we don't feel like loving the other person. Sometimes we don't feel like giving sacrificially to them. We don't feel like being generous. But see, Christians don't operate on the basis of emotions. I believe that our actions, and this is true, our actions will shape our emotions, not the other way around. If you act as though you love somebody, guess what? Eventually you will begin to love them. And I'm not trying to tell you to be fake or to be a hypocrite or anything like that, but I'm saying that if there's somebody, even somebody you don't like, somebody who's difficult to you, and you begin doing things, you go out of your way to show them that you care about them, to show them that they matter to God, and you begin to address their needs, if you start praying for them even, over time, your heart starts to soften and you start to really genuinely, sincerely care about the other person. But see, when we talk about loving someone, let's think about the illustration of a spouse. You love your spouse. My wife would not find it acceptable if I said I love you, and I said that habitually, but it never showed in my actions. If I didn't treat her with respect and care, if I didn't make any time for her, she would not accept those words as being significant at all. And God doesn't either. We tell God, well, I love my neighbor as myself, but I'm not going to do anything for them. I'm not going to minister to them. That's not the standard. As followers of Jesus, we should give because we love God and because we love the other. And by the way, the world is looking to see that kind of love. They even expect to see that kind of love. The fourth is that we give for the sake of our testimonies to the glory of God. Now, there's this common cliche today that, or misunderstanding culturally, that Christians, you know, they're such hypocrites, they don't put their words into action at all. You know, just there's things that Christians say that they care about, but they're not actually faithful on that. I had one of the most interesting exchanges that I've ever had, and it was on social media just a few weeks ago, and somebody had posted about how Christians are generally pro-life, and how these pro-life Christians, they never actually put their money where their mouth is. They don't actually adopt or give to foster care or anything like that. They're just not concerned about actually doing anything. They just talk about it a lot, right? Well, so I shared some statistics back, and the exact response I got back was, I don't care about statistics. Well, I can't do anything with that if you don't care about the evidence. But for those who do, can I tell you today that Christians ought to understand that our giving points people towards God. It's important to our testimony that people see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And this is what Matthew 5:16 says. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So people are looking at your life and they're saying, well, you say that you love God. You say you've received so much from him. How does that show up in your life? You say you care about values, but do you give to them? You say you care about others, that you love your neighbor as yourself, but do you actually give to them? Do you really care? Are you charitable? People want to see that. Because again, even if they can't put it into words, they know that as Christians, part of the love that we describe is a giving love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Okay? We use words like that. We understand that love implies giving. It implies giving of ourselves. It involves sometimes even giving sacrificially, and we have received so much. So it is important as followers of Jesus Christ that we make sure that we give to the glory of God. But as I talked about earlier, there are some who have assumptions about Christians that we don't put our money where our mouth is. But I want to encourage you today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this might be something that you just need reminded of or encouraged in. And this is interesting. This is a report from Nonprofit Pro, which is nonprofitpro.com. Pretty easy to find, okay? And they wrote up a report in late 2017, and there are two parts of this that I found to be really interesting. They said, people who are religiously affiliated are more likely to make a charitable donation of any kind, whether to a religious congregation or to another type of charitable organization. So because people are Christians, in fact, because they are devout followers of Jesus Christ, they are more likely to give, and not just to give money to the church, but to any charity. And the second part of that is religiously affiliated households give as much or more to other types of charities as non-religiously affiliated households. Okay, so that's pretty encouraging. Christians give more to charity than the unbelieving society at large. Okay, but what about the thing that I shared about earlier about adoption and foster care? Christians talk about that a lot. Do they give of themselves? Well, how about this? This is from adoption.org. It says, according to ethicsdaily.com, 5% of practicing Christians in the United States have adopted, which is more than twice the number of all adults who have adopted. More than twice the number. In addition, a survey showed that 38% of practicing Christians had seriously considered adoption, while only 26% of all adults had. And by the way, we are also more than twice as likely to be foster parents. And so Christians don't just talk about these things, they also put that into practice. Okay, well, you might say, well, what about volunteering? Because again, it's not just about giving money. And maybe it's not even just about, you know, giving to a cause that we care about, such as pro-life initiatives and things that we find within that sphere, such as foster care, adoption, so on and so forth. What about volunteering? Well, guess what? Those who are quote-unquote very religious, I always like these categories, those who are very religious are far more likely to volunteer their time than those who are not highly religious. In fact, those who are quote-unquote not highly religious, when it comes to volunteering in the last week, 28% did. As it relates to the so-called highly religious, 45% did, 17%. That is statistically significant. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have largely understood this principle, that people expect to see our faith in action. They expect to see us living out our daily lives in generous ways. And you know, Christians have embodied this for generations in the United States. A lot of our healthcare systems in the United States, hospitals, are named after what? Denominations and other faith traditions. Why? Because Christians founded those organizations. They were passionate about providing healthcare. Christians have been concerned about charitable initiatives, about volunteerism. Christians have cared about political initiatives and have given to those, and so on and so forth. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, I say that to encourage you to say, look, this is really happening. Christians really are putting their money where their mouth is. But also to challenge you, are you putting your money where your mouth is? Are you putting your time, your volunteerism? Are you committed to causes that you talk about frequently? Do you show the love of God through your availability and willingness to meet specific needs? And I promised a fifth category, and that was we give with the right motivations. It is important that when we give, we don't give simply to earn the praise of other people. We don't do that at all. In fact, it's best if nobody even knows what we give, unless, as I just described, somebody sees in such a way that it brings glory to God the Father, it causes them to worship Him. But our heart attitude needs to be in the right place. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We give first and foremost because we love God. We give to the glory of God. We give because we have received. And because we have those values, because we sincerely love others, whether they are Christians or not, whether they agree with us or not, whether they are our friends or our so-called enemies, we ought to work out the best we can to make sure we don't have so-called enemies. But we give faithfully because we want to worship God. But we don't do so that other people might look at us and say, look how wonderful he is. Look how amazing she is. We don't do it in front of other people so we can receive the praise of man. So those are why we give. Again, we give because we have received. We give because we have something to give. We give with the right motivations. We give to show the love of God. We give for the sake of our testimonies to the glory of God. But let me share just two practical considerations as we wind down our discussion today. When we talk about being able to give, sometimes when we consider our finances and where we are as stewards of what God has entrusted to us, sometimes Christians don't take that challenge as seriously as they ought to. And sometimes we spend just as the world does. We live in a upgrade culture. I need the nicest, the newest, the shiniest thing. I need to live above my means so that people can see the wealth that I possess and so that I could have a good name and a reputation or whatever else might be a driving motivation. Because of poor stewardship principles, to be frank, sometimes people are unable to give. Now, sometimes we're unable to give because of the situation we find ourselves in life. And if that's where we are in life, there is nothing to feel guilt or shame about. In fact, so often the poor in Scripture are used as an illustration of the faithful. I can tell you as a follower of Jesus Christ that there have been a few points in my life where I have been poor, certainly through childhood, and then as I described in early marriage, where I certainly could best be described as poor. But you know, we need to make sure that we don't put ourselves into situations from which we are unable to be generous. We need to make sure that we don't spend foolishly, for instance, so that we're unable to be generous. We need to make sure that we don't cause our schedule to be so filled, and we're so busy chasing down anything and everything, and we're so busy that we have no time for anybody else, so we're not able to be generous with our time. We need to make sure that we're not compromised spiritually, which would obviously hinder us from being able to give from the spiritual gifts that God has given through us to the local church. There are a number of ways where we can be perhaps emotionally unavailable to other people. There are so many ways where we could put ourselves in situations from which we are unable to be generous. We need to understand generosity as a gift of God that we are able to exercise as part of being stewards over everything He's entrusted to us. And again, I am talking in part about our finances, but not in full. Our generosity is our time, the gifts we have, our emotions, our prayers, and our finances. And more, there are more applicable categories than even that, but just to touch the tip of the iceberg. The second and final practical consideration is that generosity is a matter of stewardship. Just to share two parts of that: God has entrusted you with abilities and resources. And second, He hasn't entrusted you with all of them. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And this is interesting because I read from this passage last week as I was talking about integrity. David prayed to God, thanking Him for His greatness, for His power, for the way that He worked to allow Solomon to build the temple, what this meant for the people of Israel, what this meant for him. And he says this in verse 14. It says, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from You, and we have given You only what comes from Your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in Your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for the building You a temple for Your holy name comes from Your hand, and all of it belongs to You." That is the very principle of stewardship. We don't own it. It's entrusted to me, and I'm supposed to use it for kingdom purposes. I'm supposed to use it to bring honor and glory to You, Almighty God. David says that as they're building the temple, and he says, look at this wonderful opportunity we have. We didn't acquire any of this on our own skill or because of merit, but in Your generosity, You gave it to us, and because we have received it, we want to give it back to You. We're eager to give back to You, to give joyfully, to give sacrificially, because ultimately it's not ours anyways. What a wonderful promise. But as I said, God has entrusted you with abilities and resources. The abilities and resources you have, they weren't given to you by accident or by mistake. God has so chosen in His sovereignty to work in your life that you are blessed right where you are. But as I said, He hasn't entrusted you with all of them. So the things God has given you, you are to operate as a steward over. You should give unto the Lord. You should give to others to the best of your ability. I'm not telling you to neglect, of course, meeting the needs of your family. We don't prioritize, for instance, we don't burn ourselves out being so available for everybody else that we're not there for our wife and kids. That's not what I'm talking about today. Walking in a proper balance as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be generous with our abilities, with our resources. But you know, He hasn't entrusted you with every single ability and resource. There are going to be times where you are simply unable to give, where God in His providence has allowed other people within the local church to draw from their abilities or resources and to give. There are times where we are simply not able to, and we shouldn't feel like we are failures as Christians. If you're listening to this today and you say, well, I'm not in a place financially where I can give, and so I'm a terrible Christian, that's not what I'm saying. If you say, well, I'm unable right now because of the season in life that I'm in a grieving season, and so I can't really be emotionally available to other people because I'm hurting so seriously. Okay, then that's one area where right now, in this time, while you heal, you are unable to give. But don't view that as you being a failure. God has given you other abilities, other resources. He has entrusted those to you as a good steward. So walk in that. I have really enjoyed this study and last week's, and I really am eager to talk next week as we move forward and continue to discuss living out our faith in our daily practice. I hope it's an encouragement and a blessing to you. May the Lord bless you.